Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Canty and Carlin podcast.
Very sad day around the NFL and sports today. Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown has died at the age of 87. We continue our coverage of his life and his death here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM at channel 80. Canty and Carlin is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Dr. Andre Snellings, myself, Michael Rothstein, we're in for Canty and Carlin today, but we go out to the phone to welcome in half of Canty and Carlin. Chris Carlin, thank you for taking a few minutes today on what's a very sad day around the world of sports. What was your reaction when you heard about Jim Brown's passing at age 87?
Just sad like everybody else. A guy that meant so much to so many, had a complicated position, no question, because there was bad that came with the good. There were accusations that came with the good, but did so much for the communities, especially in Los Angeles. And listen, I did not see him play, but from so many who have, one thing becomes clear. Number one, this easily could be, you can make the case for the greatest football player, at least in the 20th century. At the very least. And secondly, just the fact that Jim Brown walked away from the game when he did in his prime because of a contract dispute, basically. Not even when he told Art Modell, "I'm going to be late," he was shooting the Dirty Dozen and had, bad weather. And if you guys talked about this, I apologize, but basically Art Modell said, "I'm going to fine you for every day that you're not here." And he said, "Okay, I quit. I retire." And that was it. You really got robbed of the entirety of what his career could have been, but from all accounts, by far the best running back to ever play the game.
Yeah, and actually, to the vein of what you were just talking about, we work for ESPN, right? So it's sports entertainment. Jim Brown, not only was he one of the greatest running backs and athletes of all time, but he was filming the Dirty Dozen. He did kind of, in my mind, he was one of the first kind of athlete entertainers. Do you think that we're seeing kind of his legacy in the LeBron Jameses and the other athletes that are making it more than just a game in the entertainment area, in addition to the activism?
Yeah, Andre, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think there's no question that he paved a road for that to happen. I don't know that there was intent behind it, but certainly you started to see athletes not just treated as athletes, in that you would see other qualities and what they were capable of. You would learn more about them personally. And when you got to see what some of their personalities were, people started to realize, hey, maybe this is not just a person that fits into one particular box. And you could go and expand your career outside of that to include entertainment. I think that's absolutely fair in so many ways. And, just the work that Jim Brown did with gangs in Los Angeles, with the black community, everything he did to raise awareness for that also became such a big part. I mean, you think about the people that were around at the time and the high profile athletes. It's Jim Brown, it's Muhammad Ali, it's athletes like that who were stepping forward and using their voices for the first time. And I think that is a huge part of this, that they spoke out for what was right and what was wrong.
We're talking to Chris Carlin, one half of the show, Canty and Carlin, here on ESPN Radio. Of course, this is Canty and Carlin right now, alongside Andre Snellings and Michael Rothstein. And I want to go back to football for a minute, because it's one of the things we've talked to a couple guests about over the last hour and a half or so since we learned that Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown passed away at age 87. Do you think that Jim Brown would have been just as effective today on the field?
Oh, I think so. And I think when you look at the physicality aspect of it, that's why. He was a freight train. I mean, this is somebody that was 6'2", 232 pounds. Think about, you know, when we talk about running backs and the amount of carries that they have, you know, he was tops in the league virtually every year. In terms of carries, only went over 300 once for his career, but the physicality with which he ran, no question would have translated. When you are running over people and you are running to the outside with the speed and power combination that Jim Brown had, really the only speed and power combinations that I think that we have ever seen that you could really compare to Jim Brown would be two guys, and one, I don't think we got to see neither as much as we should have of either. One is Earl Campbell, and the other would be Bo Jackson. I think those three guys, in terms of their running style and what they were and what they were capable of doing, it just seemed as if the most difficult thing to do with Jim Brown was to bring him down to the ground. It was to try to finish him off in a tackle. By far was the most difficult thing that you could do. The most impressive part of his game was that physicality. And the one thing too that kind of sticks out is I remember watching the Sports Century about Jim Brown that ESPN used to produce. It was so great, 15 years ago or so, 20 years ago, and you would hear Jim Brown talk about when he would get up, and he would get up from the ground so slowly on purpose so that the opponent would think that maybe they had finally done a little bit of damage, which they never had. He would always take his time. It was never, I'm going to spring back up to show you didn't do anything. It was, yeah, I'll let you think that you did something, but you didn't.
We're talking to Chris Carlin, one half of Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, alongside Andre Snellings and Michael Rothstein. We're, of course, talking about the death of Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, who passed away Friday at age 87. When you look at the long list of accomplishments, Carlin, and there are many in football, outside of the game, in lacrosse. We had Jim Boeheim on earlier, and he talked about Jim Brown as a basketball player. Which one maybe stands out the most to you?
Well, the impact that he made as an athlete, I think it's clear, was on the football field. If lacrosse had been a major sport, I don't think we would have been able to comprehend how good of a lacrosse player he was. Lacrosse is something that I covered, and in Central New York, I went to a school about an hour to the west of Syracuse called Hobart College, which was a Division III powerhouse for a long time. And when you talk about the legacy of somebody as an athlete, the first thing that they will talk about up in the Central New York region is his lacrosse ability, which was just staggering, and how great of a lacrosse player he was out on Long Island as well growing up. By most accounts, he was a better lacrosse player than football player. But again, that this was not a sport that was going to pay the bills by any stretch. So when you look at the numbers, what he did in his career, the fact that he led the league in rushing as many times as he did virtually every year but one in his career, it is remarkable that he was able to continue to do it. And there was still clearly, when we talk about running backs getting worn down and they're only good for 4 or 5 years now, go look at Jim Brown and everything that he did up until the age of 30, and it still feels like we were robbed of the very best. He was averaging 5.5 yards a carry in his last year where he rushed for 1,500 yards.
In 14 games.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's just absurd.
I mean, there's so many things that Jim Brown did on any sort of field that are absurd. You mentioned lacrosse. Growing up on Long Island myself, going to Syracuse where Jim Brown played, obviously many decades after Jim Brown, like that was just all you heard about.
Well, you know what Jim Brown means up there.
Yeah, I mean, up there, it is. I've been trying to think over the last hour and a half or so of a good example, of what it would mean. Like, I mean, Caitlin Clark maybe to Iowa in women's basketball, or you know, trying to from a lacrosse perspective. Can you think of one? One of the swimmers from Stanford. You know, like that's what I'm trying to think of to kind of put in that perspective.
Yeah, I mean. The only other, if we're going to talk about lacrosse, I mean, the Gate brothers and the Powell brothers all played on that level at Syracuse. But at the same time, from everything we can tell, the physicality, again, with which he played. Can you imagine 6'2", 230 pounds coming at you with a lacrosse stick?
No, I can, and it is frightening.
Yeah, it's beyond frightening. So, to me, his impact and the good that he did socially at a time in a city like Los Angeles in particular that was just so torn in the 80s and 90s in the race issues that city had and what he did to try to, you know, build bridges and to stand up for what was right. I think that kind of stands above everything else that Jim Brown was about.
Yeah, so as we talk about kind of some of the Bill Brasky-ish numbers that he put up in his career, one thing I was looking, and as far as I can tell, he never missed a game. Like, he played 9 seasons, and I think he played and started the max number of games all 9 seasons. And so I'm a numbers guy. You know, I said, okay, well, he was playing 12-game seasons, 14-game seasons. What if you just multiplied that out to 16, right? And he played till he was 29. What if he played till he was 32?
Yeah.
Even if he missed a handful of games, I'm seeing over 18,000 yards rushing.
Oh, yeah.
And so my question, we got all the unbreakable records. You had, you know, Babe Ruth and then Hank Aaron for the home runs in baseball, or, you know, things that Wilt Chamberlain did, or Kareem scoring in basketball. Would anybody have ever broken his records if he played a full career with that type of 16-game schedule?
I mean, Emmitt Smith ended up at 18,355.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so but here's the point. Like, it took a player like Emmitt Smith for that to be the case. So he would have been the only one really in the neighborhood. When you look at the top 5 running backs of all time, first of all, you've got a guy that's a compiler in terms of yards. You've got a guy that's a compiler that none of us would ever consider a top 5 running back, period, and Frank Gore, very good, but put up 16,000 yards over, you know, a ridiculous amount of time. Walter Payton is 1,600 yards behind Emmitt Smith all time. So think about that. You extrapolate that out with Jim Brown. Just the fact that he sits at 11th in the amount of years and games that he played, when you look at the players who are in the top 10, all of which played at a time when there were 16 games in a league, it makes the accomplishments even more remarkable. There's really nobody else from his time in the top 25. And, you know, the only one who would have come close in terms of, you know, production or whatever would have been O.J. Simpson, but that was years after. You know, that was in the 70s. Jim Brown quit in 1966. I mean, think about that. He quit in 1966, and he walked away at age 29 with 12,300 yards, and he's still in the top 12 all time. That's absurd. It's just so impressive with what he was able to do and still had so much left in his body at the time.
We're talking to Chris Carlin, one half of Canty and Carlin here on ESPN Radio. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Canty and Carlin, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. But Carlin, to that point, two things. One, people forget that he considered coming back at age 47 because Franco Harris was threatening his mark. 47. And you want to know what? He probably still could have had like an 800-yard season, 900-yard season then. But to me, had he played a full-ish career, like extrapolated out, right? I think his numbers would have been like Jerry Rice's, because Jerry Rice is, what, 4,500, 5,000 clear of Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, yeah. In terms of that, that's how good Jim Brown was. And really, that's the name that often you hear compared. Are guys like Jerry Rice. Like, that's where it sits in terms of greatest players in the game ever.
Yeah, and it's where we're talking about, you know, I believe that those were one and two, Rice being number one as a top player in the 20th century. You want to talk about players that have played since. The first one that comes to mind is obviously Tom Brady, but I don't know that comparing these guys as players, even Brown and Rice for that matter, is fair to Brown, because it's kind of apples and oranges because of all the differences in the game and what the Cleveland Browns were with Jim Rice. It's not like there was any mystery to what they were going to do. You knew what they were going to do. You knew what was coming every single play, and it did not matter.
Nope. Not at all. I mean, man, like, when you look at Jim Brown's numbers, right, he averaged 104.3 yards a game. Every year but two, he averaged over 100 yards a game. Like, it was just remarkable.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about the yards. The man had more touchdowns than games played. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's another thing, because with both Emmitt Smith and Jerry Rice, they had very long careers as well as playing, you know, the 16 games instead of 12 or 14. Is like, can you extrapolate out scoring more than a touchdown a game over those lengths of types of careers? It'd be like John Stockton assists, or, you know what I'm saying? Like just those types of records that's just so far out there.
Yeah. They were numbers that, if it had been, and again, it's hard to say with any degree of certainty, but if Jim Brown had played today, I have no question he still would have ended up being the greatest running back of all time. And I don't think if Jim Brown played today, we would have been talking about the lack of importance to running backs that we are now. I don't think. I feel confident in saying if Jim Brown had been drafted today, he would have been drafted first overall.
Yeah, I think that the argument that we heard last month when we were talking about the NFL draft, about positional value with Bijan Robinson and Jamar Gibbs, you can throw positional value right out the door, because this is how good this guy, Jim Brown, was. Because remember, this is a time when they were not throwing the ball all that much. He still had two seasons where he had over 40 catches. Like, he had almost 2,500 receiving yards in his career, twice the MVP of the NFL. He was something else, man. Listen, I never saw him play, obviously, but he was something else entirely, Carlin.
Yeah, and I wish that I had seen him play.
Yeah.
There are not many athletes. I mean, there have been, you know, the Babe Ruths, the Joe DiMaggio's, people like that. I can count on two hands the amount of athletes that I truly wish that came before my time that I had gotten to see play, and Jim Brown certainly would have been one of them.
There's no doubt about that. Hey, Carlin, thank you so much for taking some time on what's a really difficult day in the sports world, man.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Chris.
That, of course, Chris Carlin, one half of this show, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio alongside Andre Snellings. I'm Michael Rothstein. And coming up, more about the life and death of Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, who died Friday at age 87 years old. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Well, some somber news to pass along from the world of sports. Jim Brown, the legendary running back from the NFL, has died.
You could never reduce Jim Brown to just a football player, but if you wanted to talk about him as a football player, you would probably start as the greatest football player of all time.
But after those nine NFL seasons, he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1971, and the rest of his life he spent as an activist during the civil rights era and also there in South Central Los Angeles. Jim Brown was 87 years old.
Jim Brown, on a very short list, and that list might be two or three, maybe four people long, of the best football players ever, all time. Jim Brown leaves us today, age 87. The Pro Football Hall of Fame running back has died. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM at Channel 80. Alongside Andre Snellings, I'm Michael Rothstein. We're filling in for Canty and Carlin today. This, as you're going to hear now, is the official ESPN obituary for Jim Brown. To be clear, this was made for television, but we are playing this on the radio, and you'll hear from former teammates and opponents of Jim Brown in this piece. So here you go, and I hope you learned something.
He did not try to go around me. My face mask was mashed completely against my face. Didn't hurt me. Just crushed my face mask, a metal face mask.
My helmet came down and cut my nose, broke my nose, and the enamel popped off my teeth. That's how hard I hit him. Knocked me cold.
I got to in the backfield, and I nailed Jim Brown right in his track, and he drugged me like 10 yards down the field. I mean, you don't drag me down the field. And I beat him. I beat him on the leg.
With an unusual combination of size, strength, and speed, Jim Brown led the NFL in rushing for all but one of his nine seasons. Three of those years, he led the Cleveland Browns to the league championship game, winning it in 1964. Brown's popularity and rugged exterior translated well to the silver screen. In 1966, Brown was picked to star in the movie The Dirty Dozen. The production was frequently delayed by rain, which kept Brown out of Cleveland's training camp. Owner Art Modell gave Brown an ultimatum: return to the team or leave permanently. After hinting at retirement, the man widely considered the greatest football player of all time officially retired in July of 1966.
I had exhausted my ability to play football. I didn't want to play anymore. I wanted to do other things. When I left, I was cool. You know, it was okay.
He was almost obsessed with the thought that he did not want to hang on playing professional football long beyond his time. He wanted to be remembered as the great running back who was at the top of his game when he walked away from it.
Brown continued his on-screen career with several action roles in the 1970s.
The first time I saw his face, it was in a movie. So that's who I want to be like. That's who I want to look like. I want to walk like him. He inspired me more than any athlete, Jimmy Brown.
But Brown's legacy is far more than football or acting. He started several programs to empower African Americans during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and later began the AmeriCAN program, which sought to rehabilitate young inmates in American prisons. It was a touch of irony for a man who ran into trouble with the law several times. Brown had been charged, though never convicted, in five domestic abuse cases since the 1960s.
I think that you have to, like, do many things and enjoy quality of life and, most of all, put something back into the society that puts something in you.
That was the ESPN obituary on television of Jim Brown, who died today at age 87, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio alongside Andre Snellings and Michael Rothstein. We're filling in for Canty and Carlin today. Here's a statement from D and Jimmy Haslam, the owners of the Cleveland Browns, on the passing of Jim Brown. And I quote, "Jim Brown is a true icon of not just the Cleveland Browns, but the entire NFL. He was certainly the greatest to ever put on a Browns uniform and arguably one of the greatest players in NFL history. Jim was one of the reasons the Browns have such a tremendous fan base today. So many people grew up watching him just dominate every time he stepped onto the football field, but his countless accolades on the field only tell a small part of his story. His commitment to making a positive impact for all of humanity off the field is what he should also be known for. In the time we've spent with Jim, especially when we first became a part of the Browns, we learned so much from him about the unifying force sports can be and how to use sports as a vehicle for change while making a positive impact in the community. Jim broke down barriers just as he broke tackles. He fought for civil rights, brought athletes from all different sports together to use their platform for good. Many thought Jim retired from football too soon, but he always did it his way. From the football field to Hollywood to his work and athlete activism, Jim always played the leading role. His devotion to fighting racial injustice, improving education for youth, and positively impacting the many lives he has through his AmeriCAN program has left a lasting legacy well beyond all he accomplished on the field. Jim Brown is the Cleveland Browns, and our thoughts and prayers are with his wife Monique, his children, an entire family, as well as all those who mourn this immense loss." Again, that from D and Jimmy Haslam, the owners of the Cleveland Browns, on the passing of Jim Brown, the Pro Football Hall of Fame running back, activist, lacrosse player at age 87 here on Friday. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. When you hear that statement, Dre, what's the thing that stands out the most?
Yeah, for me, it's the combination of the video game athletic accomplishments, because sports has always been a huge part of my life, and the activism. Again, I was a young black boy growing up in the generations after Jim Brown came through as a football player. So I never got to see him as a football player, but I got to see his activism, and I got to see the results of previous activism. And I've mentioned it on the show a couple times now, just that image of that summit with Jim Brown and Muhammad Ali and Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they're sitting literally and figuratively at the table and saying, "We are at the table and you have to address us as people and as equals." And I'm getting chills as I'm talking about it, because the life that I live today would not have been possible if not for the sacrifices of what people were doing then. And Jim Brown was one of those that was leading and helping with the sacrifices of that era that you know, have just changed the way that this country has gone.
I think it's also been a precursor to what we've seen in the past few years with athletes being more active, whether it has been the U.S. Women's National Team for equal pay, whether it has been many athletes after the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis almost a handful of years ago now. There has been, I think, the last 5 years, a renewed activism among athletes that we are seeing. You know, no more shut up and dribble type situation.
Exactly.
And so much of that goes, I think, back to Jackie Robinson and Jim Brown and Kareem. And they were the ones who really started that and kind of showed that it was okay to do that if you are an athlete and okay to take a stand. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, we're going to have more on the life and death of Pro Football Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, who passed away today at age 87.
Canty and Carlin, the podcast.
Bad news in the world of sports today. Jim Brown, the Pro Football Hall of Fame running back, the actor, the activist, the lacrosse player, passes away today at age 87. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Canty and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. I'm neither Canty nor Carlin. Alongside Andre Snellings, I'm Michael Rothstein. We're in for the guys today. And on a very sad day in the world of sports, Jim Brown, one of the best players in the history of football. It's a very short list that he would be on, along with Jerry Rice and maybe Tom Brady and maybe Randy Moss. And you know, that list ends up being very, very, very short. Best running back in the history of pro football passes away today at age 87. And Howard Bryant, ESPN.com senior writer, was on with us earlier, and he explained a little bit about what Jim Brown meant off of the field.
It's important to remember that black athletes before that group were expected to be quiet. They were expected to be docile. They were expected to be grateful. They were not expected at all to advocate for themselves or for anybody else. And I think that's one of the things that's really most important to remember about Jim Brown, is that a lot of the things Jim Brown talked about, he wasn't talking about them for himself. He was rich and he was famous and he was gifted and was an athletic genius. And so many of those things he was fighting for were for people who had it worse off than him.
That was Howard Bryant, ESPN.com's senior writer. And Dre, when we were on earlier when Howard talked about it, about that part of Jim Brown's legacy then, when you hear it now after a couple of hours of talking about Jim Brown, is there something else that, like, in the last 3 hours that's really hit you about Jim Brown and his legacy?
Yeah, I mean, well, we've talked a lot about it ourselves. Just, you know, his legacy was multi-layered and complicated in ways, but so powerful. The you know, when we were talking last segment about how activism, sports activism, athlete activism, Jim Brown was one of the pioneers of that. And then we jumped to today with, you know, moving past shut up and dribble and the athletes being more activist today. But there was, I think, of a long period in between there, you know, in the 80s and 90s, kind of the more commercial time, when athletes weren't speaking out like this. And so for the current generation to be doing more and using their voices more is, to me, a tribute and a throwback to Jim Brown, because he had to be the pioneer for them to look at even after decades may have gone past.
Without question. And when you look at some of what Jim Brown did, what he did and Kareem did and Bill Russell did and Muhammad Ali did, set the path for, I think, this current generation of activist athlete, whether it's for equal pay, which we've seen with the U.S. women's national team, which we've seen with female fighters like Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron and Michaela Mayer and Amanda Serrano and Clarissa Shields, to everything that all athletes really have done in the wake of the George Floyd killing 5 years ago. All of those things can stem back to that Cleveland conference, the Cleveland Summit, and what happened since then. Tony Rizzo, Cleveland sports radio host, was on earlier, and he explained how Cleveland is reacting to the loss of their best football player ever.
Jim Brown was not only the greatest Cleveland Brown. A lot of people will argue that he was one of the greatest football players ever. And he played in such a different time not only was he a pro athlete, and none of the money was back then like it is now, he was a civil rights advocate. He was a good actor. He had some great films. I hope people will go back and watch some of the films he made. And he always represented our franchise very, very well. So a lot of our audience is younger, and they only get to see Jim Brown. And I hate this, guys, that it's in slow motion, because it does not do justice as to what a great football player he was, as well as a man.
There's no question about that, at least the football player portion of it, and so much of what he did for just the communities that he was in. A lot of people talk about what he did for the homelessness crisis in Los Angeles. You look at some of the numbers about Jim Brown from a football perspective. 9-year NFL career, the Browns had a winning record in each of them. He made the Pro Bowl every year. So the NFL Rookie of the Year in 1957, won MVP in 1957, and in his last season in 1965. Led the NFL in rushing in 8 of his 9 years. He never missed a game in his career. Think about this, Dre. He ran for 100 yards in 58 of 118 games.
Yeah.
In the regular season. Like, what running back is doing that now? Maybe Derrick Henry? Maybe. And even then, that might be a stretch, because Derrick Henry hasn't been playing, you know, every game of every season.
Yeah. And so, you know, a couple things there. As we've talked about how he was, say, leading the NFL in rushing in 8 out of 9 seasons, I think we need to look at the scale, like the scope of, like, because he wasn't just leading. He was obliterating. Like, in his final season, yes, he led the NFL in rushing with 1,544 yards. But that was almost 700 more yards than second place, who was, oh, by the way, a guy we've heard of in Gale Sayers. So, I mean, it's like he was almost lapping the field in some of these seasons. He wasn't just leading. He was just out on an island. And I think the other thing along that lines is he was a 3-time NFL MVP, but he's the only non-quarterback in NFL history to win the award that many times. And we've talked about how is the running back position devalued in today's game. But in the history of running backs, long before there was any devaluation, he was still the only one that's won it 3 times outside of the quarterbacks.
Well, I'll give you one better. So in his career high rushing season, he had 1,863 yards in 1963. The next closest guy was Jim Taylor from Green Bay, who had 1,018 yards.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's how good he was. By the way, he did not win MVP that year. Y.A. Tittle won the MVP award that year in 1963. So he should have been maybe MVP even another time, besides the couple of times that he ended up being an MVP. 8 rushing titles, most in NFL history. When he retired, he led the NFL all-time in career touchdowns and rushing touchdowns, rushing yards, yards per rush, best season in NFL history rushing. Just so many records that he held. Coming up, we're going to have more on the incredible life and death of Jim Brown here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.